Against the backdrop of this present darkened age, what good is the gospel? What value is a savior? Does the work of Jesus as savior actually change the world? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim brings us a powerful and timely message on the power of the gospel and the great working of the savior. It's a message that will change lives. So with no further delay, here is Pastor Jim.
Luke chapter 2, beginning in the 8th verse. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." Then the angel went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at the shepherds and what they had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen and had been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Oh, Father, again we come to you in prayer. Father, I ask that the fact that I am a sinful man, though saved by grace, does not stand in the way of you being honored and glorified and made much of in this service today. Father, that by your word, you would speak through me to these that are here, and that they would hear through your Holy Spirit those words that are above all words, those words that reveal you. Oh, Father, I thank you again for these that are here, and we bow before your throne because you are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I got into this text again this week, and I was prepared to really dig deep into the angel's message, there was something that just jumped off the page to me about the angel's message. In verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," what? A Savior who is Christ the Lord. That word Savior jumped off the page to me today. We've talked in the past how Israel was looking for a Savior, but not necessarily a spiritual Savior. They were looking for a new David or a king that would come and take control and take the reins of the government, take the reins of the country, and overthrow those who would enslave Israel and put Israel back again in its prominent place. So many didn't understand this Savior. They didn't understand the weak baby in a manger. They didn't understand the meekness of Christ. There are many today who are calling for a Savior, but there is no other Savior. I found some numbers I wanted to share with you. These come from, most of them from 2011. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, one woman is raped every 2 minutes in the United States. That's more than 250,000 women are raped every year in the United States of America. Approximately 13 million people, close to 5% of the population, are victims of crime every year. 1.5 million people in the U.S. are victims of violent crime every year. Approximately 6,700 people die each day in America from a number of different reasons. And that was in 2011. That was before we added anything COVID. Between 3,500 and 4,000 babies are aborted each day in the United States. Worldwide, 42 million per year, or approximately 115,000 children are aborted a day. 52% of those abortions are obtained that in the U.S. are obtained by women younger than 25 years old. 32% between 20 and 24, and then teens account for about 20%. 64% of the abortions are performed on women who have never been married. About 10% are performed on women who are divorced, leaving a fourth of all the abortions in the U.S. on married women. 18% of abortions are obtained by women who identify themselves as born-again Christians. 93% of all abortions occur for social reasons, such as unwanted, unexpected, or inconvenience. 93% of abortions. War. Somewhere in the world, there is always between 5 and 15 major wars going on, with no less than 24 other lesser conflicts. In today's warfare, 75% of those people killed are not killed or wounded in combat. Hunger. 395 million people do not know where their next meal is coming from today. That's around the world. 395 million people. 30,000 people will die each day from nothing more than a lack of clean water. Lack of clean water. 143 million orphaned or abandoned children in the 93 developed countries. It's hard to grasp this picture. It's so large, the number of abandoned children. So to put this into context, this would be if you took the abandoned and orphaned children and had them hold hands and put them in a straight line, and there was a road beside that line, you would drive for over 2.5 months at 60 mile an hour, 24 hours a day, to get from one end of that line to the other. That's a lot of children, isn't it? Almost a third of the children in the United States, which represents about 28 million children, are living without a father in the home. These facts are staggering. Almost 3 million or 4.1% of the children in the United States are living without parents, mother or father. Over 50% of youth in shelters, listen to this, over 50% of youth in shelters and on the streets report that their parents either told them to leave or knew that they were leaving and did not care. Let me tell you the sad thing and everything I just told you. Without that Savior, this world I just described is the very best they're going to ever see. It's the very best that they will ever see because they do not have a Savior. All these statistics and all these things, and I've said it before about elections and other things, it is the Christian who I believe has the greatest responsibility in all of this. It is the Christian. And I say that because we need to be about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, I thought I put that statistic in here, but I didn't apparently. Something like 65% of Christians will never tell anyone else about their faith. Yes, we believe in the sovereignty of God. Yes, we believe that God's will not be thwarted. Yes, we believe that God chose before the foundations of the world. We believe all that. And none of that takes away from the responsibility of you and I of sharing the gospel and living the gospel and loving people the way we are called to in the scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 2, Jared read from Ephesians this morning, it tells us that we are dead in our sins. We are dead in our trespasses. And so people read that and they read over it. Why do they read over it? They go like this. There's breath in me. I'm still alive. That's not what it's talking about, is it? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about dead spiritually. Remember the man in Matthew that came up to Jesus and wanted to follow Jesus, and he said that he would come and follow Jesus after he went back and buried his father? And as we dig into that story, we realize his father isn't even sick. So in other words, he wanted to go back until his father passed away, and then he'd come follow after Jesus. And Jesus told him what? Do you remember? Let the dead bury the dead. Okay. Now, picture this. Somebody who's not breathing, digging a hole and burying the dead. That's not what he's talking about, is it? It's not how it works. That's not what he means. What he's talking about is those who are spiritually dead. That comes straight from Jesus. Let the dead bury the dead. Spiritually dead. In other words, there is no Holy Spirit within them. There is no life within them that is eternal. There is only eternal death in them. Now, God knows who that's going to be changed in, but you and I don't. And so every single human being that you and I come across, we ought to be telling them about this Savior. Remember what the angel said in the previous verse? I bring you good news of great joy. That is for who? All people. For all people, he brings this good news. And you and I are to share this good news with everyone. Some people say, oh, well, I do it with my life, and I think that's fantastic. But if you stop there, you've fallen short. If you stop there, you are not following through. But if you don't show it with your life, you still have failed, no matter what you have coming out of your mouth. It takes both. You know, I have met some high and mighty Christians, so to speak. At least that's what they would call themselves. They were high and mighty, and they were above everybody, just like the Pharisees, and they would make sure that you understood how little you knew about the Word of God as they mocked you with all their knowledge. That is a dead person, brothers and sisters. That is a dead person. It is with knowledge that God uses to save, but the knowledge does not save anybody. It is the hand of God by the work of Christ through the Holy Spirit that anyone is saved. We need a Savior. We are dead in our trespasses, dead in our sins. I was thinking about that this week as I was preparing a message. And I was thinking, you know, when I'm honest with myself, I know my sin. How about you? Do you know your sin? If you know your sin, and if you are honest with yourself, then you know that you deserve hell. You deserve hell. You do not deserve what God has given you. What has God given you? Grace. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. You see, Israel was expecting a great king to be ushered in. A man of great power. One of the reasons Saul hated David so much was because the people would say, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his ten thousands. Talking about in war and in battle. David was a mighty, mighty warrior, a mighty king. And whose line did the Savior come from? It was David's, right? And so the people were expecting a new David to overthrow Rome. But Jesus is more. The Savior is more than a new David. The Savior overthrew those who held you, if you belong to him, in slavery. Those who had impoverished you with sin. Those enemies of darkness. He overthrew them. The scriptures tell us of how Satan wanted to be like God. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be like God. Equal with God. He who was created wanted to be like the Creator. So, what did he do when God said no? He went and he got an army. He got a third of the angels in heaven to turn on God. And he was prepared for a great battle against God. So he came to basically overthrow God with a third of the angels. God did not say, the rest of the angels, come help me. What did God do? He cast them out with the word of his mouth. With the word of his mouth, he overthrew this rebellion. Because God is all powerful. We talked about already how you and I are dead in our trespasses and sins, how you and I, because of sin, are lost, how we deserve hell, and God gave us grace. As we look at that, how did we get from deserving hell to receiving grace? Because God is a just God, right? God is a judge, and He is a just judge. What judge would you call just that had a murderer come before Him and Him tell the murderer, you're free to go? Convicted murderer, you're free to go. Would that be a just judge? Our sins are as filthy as that. And we stand before God. Would He be just if He said, okay, you're free to go? Yes, you did all those things. What was it we just read here? All those violent crimes, those rapes, those abortions, and abandoning children, and all those things. Yeah, you did those things. But it's okay. You can go. That would not be a just or a righteous God. So how do we get from being who we are in the flesh to being what we would call saved by the Savior? First off, before the foundation of the world, God knew you. He knew you. Before time was created, He knew you. God knew every sin that you would commit. So before the foundations of the world, before time began, God laid it out. And as it says, when the time was right, He sent His Son. He sent His Son. Then His Son went to the cross. And on that cross, it says, He who knew no sin became sin. The wrath of God was poured out. What wrath of God? If He knew no sin, what wrath did He deserve? He deserved none, didn't He? None. So what wrath was poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross? The wrath that was meant for your sin and mine. That was poured out on Jesus. Him paying the debt so that you could be justified and declared righteous. Because somebody had to pay that. Either you or somebody else. And Christ is that somebody else. The Savior is that somebody else. You know, I think so often we go through this, it's Christmas time, and we get to this, the Savior is born, and we celebrate, we're glad, but we really don't take the time to dig in and look at the Savior, to look at Him, to know a little bit about Him, and to learn. I want to look at a couple passages that talk a little bit about our deadness. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man does not receive the gifts of the Spirit of God. For they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually assessed. Without the Savior to open your eyes and to open your ears, you cannot understand your need for a Savior. Romans 3, beginning in the 9th verse. What then? Are we Jews better off? No, not at all. For I have already charged that all men, both Jew and Greek, are under the power of sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have gone wrong. No one does good, not even one. Not even one does good. So we sit back and we say, just a minute. I can start listing people who do good things that aren't Christian. I can list people who do good things and maybe they're Mormons. Maybe even they're Hindu or some other. Maybe they don't have a religion at all. Maybe they're atheist and they're doing good things. So how can that possibly be true? Again, it is talking about what is truly good. We can't do anything good apart from God. What is truly good is the spiritual good. What is truly good is those things that fulfill what you were created for. You and I were created for the glory of God. That was His purpose in creating us. We were not created to be successful, to be unsuccessful. We were not created to be beautiful and handsome or short and dumpy. We were not created to live in a certain place. We were created for the glory of God. And all the other stuff, where we work, what we do, how we live, what we look like, all that other stuff is part of glorifying God. You ever see somebody who you look at them and they have something wrong with them physically and they're almost scary sometimes, some deformation or something. But then you get past that and you start to talk to them and you see a very beautiful person. How many people do you suppose never got past that to see the beautiful person that was there? We were created for the glory of God. And no matter what you look like, no matter where you're from, what you do, You can accomplish that only in Christ. Only in Christ. That's the only way you can glorify God. Because otherwise we are dead in our sins and dead in our trespasses, and everything we do, even those things that are good according to the world, are of no value. In fact, I've been using this so long, I don't remember the last time I said it. It must have been yesterday. If God was to measure yours and my good works, He told us in the Old Testament what they were like. He said they're like filthy rags. They are like minstrel rags. That's what our good works are. And I don't know about you, but that's about as nasty as you can get, isn't it? That's nasty. That's dirty. That's what our good works are apart from God. Romans 6, verse 17. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Of righteousness. There's some things that the world just doesn't understand because they have no eyes to see and ears to hear. And so we repeat them over and over. There's things in the scripture you read and you think, well, didn't I just read that in this other place? Or you look up something in the scripture, or you look up something online about the scripture, and it'll give you a half a dozen places where it says the same thing. It's important to have repetition. And that repetition about what it is that makes us righteous is important. It is that being covered in the righteousness of Christ. He chooses not to look past the righteousness of Christ, the white purity of Christ. And when He sees us, it's like this. He doesn't see that sin. When we belong to Christ, He sees Christ in His purity. Ephesians 4, beginning in the 17th verse. Now this I affirm and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. And folks, that describes every single one of us before Christ regenerated us and saved us. That is every single one of us. You cannot look at somebody and say, oh, this one is a fool because he doesn't understand the Word of God. Just because God has opened up the eyes of yours so that you can see does not give you the right to stand above and judge anyone else. In fact, when you see people that seem to have no understanding of who God is and what He says, and you don't pray for them, I have to ask, do you know Christ? Because you put yourself above them. As we do the abortion ministry, and we go to Kansas City to the abortion clinic, and we try to talk with women on the street, the first time you look down on a woman who's going in there because you are better than her, you need to stop that ministry and go and repent. Because apart from the grace of God, there you go too. We need to share the Word of God. By His Word, they will be saved. He will save them. When we put ourselves at such a high place above other people because God has enlightened us to something, first off, we should remember that there's always somebody He has enlightened more. No matter what you know, somebody knows more. And if your goal is to show people how much you know, you need to repent. Because what your goal should be is to show them more Christ, not how much you know. They need the Savior. They don't need your great knowledge. In Matthew, the 27th verse, He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within they are full of dead men's bones and are all uncleanness. You see, a lot of times in the church, we clean ourselves up and we put on our nice clothes and we put on our nice language and we put on our nice smile and we go to church and we pretend to be somebody we are not when we need to be that person at home and at church and in public and at work. I didn't want to skip over this Savior that is being born and being announced. This Savior who was born in the city of David, this Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I didn't want to skip over that. I wanted us to see it. I look at John chapter 5, 24th verse. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. The dead, the spiritually dead, will hear the voice of the Son of God. I just want you to notice a couple things. It did not say, they will see your good works and hear. It's not what it says. It did not say that they would see how nice you are or how clean you live. It did not say that. It said they will hear the voice of the Son of God. Where is the voice of the Son of God come from? Is it a telephone call? Is it a recording? It comes from here, doesn't it? Here is the voice of the Son of God. It is not my choice of words. It is His. This is the voice of the Son of God. This is the voice of God. This is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, which is how John put the birth of Christ. So I say to you, this Savior, you need Him. I believe with all my heart that many of you have Him. I believe with all my heart some of you don't. And I believe with all my heart some of you I don't know. Shouldn't we live in such a way that would reveal and give confidence to our family and those around us that we honor and love our Savior? Shouldn't that be it? And that's in everything. I watched a message this morning from Stephen Lawson. It was on As Unto God was the title of it. And it was about the work that you do, doing it unto God. Are you doing the work that you do unto God? And if you are, then His name and His word will be involved as well as the lifestyle. So as I bring this to a close, I want to read Revelation 22:17. It says, let him who is thirsty come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Please stand with me. Let's pray. Father God, the whosoever, Lord. Father, I pray that those who hear my voice, who have heard your word this morning, that they would be the whosoever. Those who will hear this recording on the radio, may they be the whosoever. Lord, those who will watch this on the internet, those who will listen to it around the world on sermon audio, oh, Father, may they be the whosoever. Let their eyes be open, their ears be unplugged, and let them receive the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And it is His name that I pray. Amen.
What a powerful idea. If we cannot show Christ instead of showing us, then our faith is without substance. It's dead. It's false. Oh, my beloved, I beg you, in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, do not allow this day to close with your faith being found empty. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we would like to send you if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.